up, hockey fans? This is episode 124 of the Clappercast. I'm Burke, and as always, joined by Sean. Sean, what's going on?
I am sitting here staring at my bracket and wondering how many games it'll take before it's all completely fucked up. I estimate zero.
Seven. Yeah, at least seven for each round, and then it'll be messed up. Yeah, it doesn't take long.
Well, I mean, that one year my bracket was messed up in the first game when Columbus beat Tampa Bay.
Yeah. I mean, what was it last year because of Montreal moving forward? It was like there was like one guy who had his like the correct
something. Yeah, something crazy like that.
Something like that.
There's this one random dude who picked Montreal to beat Toronto.
Are you just doing it on NHL.com? The bracket challenge? Or
exactly.
Whatever? Yeah, I should probably do mine. I should try it out. I wanted to get a playoff pool going, but it's hard to find people who are interested.
Yeah, I can imagine after a full season, regular season of fantasy hockey, the playoff one just isn't quite as appealing. Got to have the couple month break here to get back into it.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to not be doing it in playoffs too, because then you don't have to be like cheering for a guy on a team you might not necessarily like.
See, at this point, it's stressful enough when my team is actually in the playoffs. I don't need to worry about a fantasy pool as well.
Yeah, it's like, what if you had like Anze Kopitar in your pool and you're like, oh yeah, like Kopitar score, but it's against my favorite team, so I hate it.
See, you'll find out I might be a little bit superstitious here, but I would probably end up doing that as well, just to like, just so I don't jinx my own team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, playoffs start tomorrow, so it's pretty cool that they just jump right into it. So I thought we'd kind of run through each series and, you know, give our opinions on, you know, who might have the edge and why, and let's jump right into it with, you know, the Western Conference here with the Colorado Avalanche versus the Nashville Predators. So I think the biggest storyline here, Sean, is that Juuse Saros not getting the start for Nashville because of injury. And I think that dramatically decreases the chances that Nashville can win. Would you agree?
100%. I mean, Nashville's chances of winning were pretty small to begin with. So now that Saros is out, and I think he's a backup, is it David Riddick?
David Riddick, yeah.
I mean, Roman Josi can only do so much. So if Juuse Saros is gone for any significant amount of the series, like, I don't see Nashville as having a reasonable shot at winning.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Riddick just started against Colorado like a few days ago and like let in four goals, but eventually got the shootout win. But before that, he's lost six in a row. So.
And he also had this play a couple of games ago where he turned around, skated directly into the net, and knocked it off its moorings. So that's the man that the Predators are starting in the playoffs.
Big save, Dave. Yeah. It's so, yeah, without Saros, I don't think they have a chance. If somehow Saros comes back, I think, like, maybe. But I don't know. I don't really think there's a lot of faith in Riddick to stand on his head and be an absolute wall in there with the offense that Colorado has. Yep. And, you know, Gabriel Landeskog is coming back. He missed the final 23 games of the season and had knee surgery, so maybe he might not be quite as, you know, good of a skater as he was earlier in the year, but, you know, him coming back in immediately improves their team. So,
there isn't exactly a match there. I mean, they don't even have like the defense advantage per se, Nashville, because Josi's kind of matched by Makar. Maybe not defensively, but you know, the offense from the back end is kind of matched up there.
Yeah. So no Saros, obviously a huge issue for Nashville, and they're gonna struggle without him in there just to, you know, backstop him. And you mentioned Makar and Josi kind of, you know, matching up here. I think that's gonna be a cool thing to watch, just those two guys.
Well, yeah, the two highest scoring defenders in the regular season, both 90 plus points. That's going to be really cool to see them going at it head to head.
Yeah. So my prediction for this one is Colorado in five. I think Nashville might win one at home.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, the atmosphere that they have there, and it's always tough to go with a sweep. But I think Colorado should pretty easily handle this. But that might be an issue, right? It's like the confidence, overconfidence going in. They should win. Maybe that's too much for them to handle, and they don't. But I think they'll pull through in five.
Yeah. What about you? I 100% agree. I've got Colorado in five for this one as well.
Nice. Starting off in alignment. What was it, 2 years ago? We had like complete opposite
something.
Picks.
Yeah.
Last year we were kind of getting a little closer. Yeah. Now
starting off
like,
on the right foot here.
You know, the hive mind. Yeah. Okay. Well,
too many episodes.
Let's move on. Yeah. Let's move on to the Minnesota Wild versus the St. Louis Blues. I think this is going to be probably one of the better series in the first round. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really interesting. You know, they both had really good years. They've added some people at the deadline, you know, especially the Wild with Fleury. And then some interesting goalie things for both teams. You know, like for the Minnesota Wild, it's like, do they play Talbot? Do they play Fleury? They'll probably play both, but who do they start? They each played 11 of the last 22.
So that's like probably, they split it. That's probably going to be like a you win, you're in type situation, eh?
Probably, yeah. So in the last, in his last 11, Talbot went 8-0-3 with two shutouts, 2.25 goals against, and a 925 save percentage. And then Fleury went 9-2-0 and a 2.74 goals against.
How the hell do you pick between those
9-10 save percentage? So yeah, it's like, I mean, I guess like Talbot's stats are slightly better, but like they're both winning. Here's an interesting thing. Cam Talbot played all the games against St. Louis this season for the Wild. He was 0-1-2, had a 5.92 goals against. Oof. And an 8.14 save percentage.
Yikes.
Okay. So that's not great. And then Marc-Andre Fleury played three times against the St. Louis Blues when he was with Chicago, 0-3-0, but had a 3.36 goals against average and a 9.03 save percentage. So it's like, do you take Fleury's stats with a different team that's worse than yours as being stronger? But that's earlier in the season. So it's like, I think it's like whoever won last like might get the start, right? And then you just kind of see who goes from there, ride the hot hand as they usually
do. But there's no real there's no clear starter. It's definitely like a 1A 1B situation, so I genuinely think it's just going to be you win, you're in. I mean, whoever started and won the last regular season game is probably the go-to.
And on the Blues side of things, like, it's pretty obvious they're going to go with Husso, and then, you know, probably a short leash if he lets in a lot of bad goals or something. Binnington will be there to play, but you know, it's kind of funny to see Binnington on the shelf as a start of playoffs, considering, you know, his career trajectory so far. But Husso's the guy. Like, they play better with him. He plays better than Binnington.
His stats were bad. I mean, his last couple of games of the season, he had like an 800 save percentage against the Coyotes and then 879 against the Avs. So, like, that's not going to stand up very well in the postseason. Husso just completely took over, had that one really hot stretch, played most of the games for a couple of weeks, and I think it was mostly Husso's crease the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, other than that, you know, they've both been scoring a lot, these teams.
That's going to be the fun part of the series.
Yeah, you know, some good goaltending and, you know, lots of scoring opportunities. And, like watching Kaprizov skate around circles around the entire team is going to be interesting to see how they get how they cover that guy. I mean, who do you pick in this one, Sean?
This is going to be one of the longer series in the first round. I lean towards Minnesota taking it in seven. I think Minnesota has the advantage in net, and that's going to come into this. That's going to be very important with two high scoring teams. Like, they're both going to be offensively dynamic and scoring and creating chances. I just see the Wild as having the goaltending that's going to pull them through.
Yeah, I picked Minnesota in six, so I think that, you know, one less game, but I think for the reasons you mentioned that they'll pull through.
Yeah. I'm also not 100% sure on St. Louis's offense. Now, I didn't follow them too closely, but it seems like they got really hot right at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like the last 10 games or so, and then before that they were kind of average. But it looks so like
which version of them is going to be in.
Looks like a good handful of players are having career years, breakout years. So it looks like they're kind of in the same boat as Minnesota with a bunch of guys, you know, breaking out, bouncing back, doing that type of stuff.
Yeah. And I saw a thing today that Braden Schenn is going to be available for game one. because he missed a number of the last games of the season there. I think Krug is going to be, in the lineup. But yeah, like they definitely got hot at the end of the season. So if they stay hot, they could just roll over a team. But yeah, like you said, the goaltending in Minnesota is just they've got the edge there. So I think Minnesota should hold on to it. And we've spoken about this earlier in other episodes, but like it's kind of do or die time for Minnesota. So I think that there's a lot of guys there who probably know that, and that they're really going to be trying to win and push through.
Yeah.
You know, to
some extra motivation there.
Conference finals and things like that, and get to the finals, because who knows what their team's going to look like next year.
Now,
with all those cap penalties.
Exactly. They're going to be in tough trying to recreate what they have this season, especially with a few of their key guys are needing new contracts and they've kind of broken out. I think Fiala is one of them. I believe he was just on a 1 year or something.
Yeah. And he's been lighting it up for the last
3 weeks or so.
The last couple of weeks, like he had that 5-assist game. I mean, Robert Thomas on the other side too is kind of a comparable rate, but maybe less goals, just a, assist machine, but
yeah, the interesting thing, St. Louis's offense actually is, I think it's one of the deepest offensive teams in decades, because they had 920 goal scorers, and I think that was the first time that it happened in quite a while.
Oh, that's kind of cool. That's impressive. That could really serve them well in playoffs.
Well, it's basically the entirety of their top three lines all score 20 goals each. Like, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, I think the top line is Thomas, Tarasenko and Barbashev. Like, that line's kind of gross.
Well, 82 points Tarasenko, 76 for, oh wait, you said Barbashev, 60 points for Barbashev and 77 for Thomas.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty. And then playoff performer like Perron in there.
Yeah, O'Reilly,
Shen.
Yeah,
so yeah, I mean, they could very well battle through. I think this is going to be a close series. A bit longer. I'm interested to watch this one, though. This should be a really good series.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll move on to Calgary Flames versus the Dallas Stars. I'm hopeful Dallas does something here, but they've really kind of limped along into playoffs.
It's not even you're hoping they win. You just hope they do something. Just don't get swept. Yeah, exactly. Just, score a goal at least. Come on.
Yeah, pretty much. So this one, I think we're seeing probably one of the best lines in hockey coming into playoffs here for the Calgary Flames, with Matthew Tkachuk, Elias Lindholm, and Johnny Gaudreau. So between the three of those guys, they combined for 124 goals, 177 assists. All three of them had at least 40 goals. Lindholm and Tkachuk had 42, and Johnny had 40. And they're just nasty. Yeah. And I haven't watched a lot of Flames games this season, but from what I've seen, Johnny Gaudreau has really kind of stepped his game up in the defensive zone, so he's gotten a bit more. I don't think he's going to be like a Selke winner, but he's gotten a lot more responsible and like contributing in the D zone, which is probably seen a real increase in their offensive numbers because they're able to turn the puck up the ice.
But yeah, that's that whole thing with his even strength points. He had like 90 even strength points or something this season, which is absolutely absurd. So, being better defensively would play right into that, because you're obviously not spending time in the defensive zone if you're able to go and score 90 points even strength.
Yeah. So that line is going to be nasty. Matthew Tkachuk obviously plays a huge playoff type of game, so he's going to be interesting to watch. Might have some altercations with a guy like Jamie Benn.
Yep.
And then for the Stars, they've got a pretty good top line too of Roope Hintz, Jason Robertson, and Joe Pavelski. So they had 105 goals and 127 assists. So interesting. Jason Robertson hit 41 goals, so first time over 40 for him. I guess it's like a second season.
Yeah, he played half of last season. This is his first full season.
And then Joe Pavelski with a career high of 81 points, which is pretty interesting. He's like 36 or something.
Yeah.
And then Hintz had 37 goals. So, that's kind of their main line. And other than that, there's not a whole lot of offense in the forward core. There's some defensemen who contribute. But they're kind of that one-note team. And you know, I think offensively, Calgary's got the edge.
Big time, absolutely.
And then in goaltending too, I think that Calgary has the edge with Markstrom. But the Stars, you know, they brought in Wedgwood, and he's looked pretty good for them. But then they've got Jake Ottinger, so it's like, who do they play? You know, a guy like Ottinger, I could see easily like stealing a series because he's got that talent level. But I don't know. I think Dallas is really going to be in tough here against Calgary.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, you'd think a team like Calgary, where they have so much of their offense coming from one line, you'd assume that they're pretty top heavy. Like, if all of their offense is on one line, then no one else is going to be scoring. But that's not accurate, because they had Andrew Mangiapane, who had 35 goals. They have Blake Coleman, who's, you know, he's one of those depth guys. He's a playoff performer. He's important in that role. Tyler Toffoli had like 11 goals in 35 games or something with Calgary. So they've got depth scoring as well, and it's going to be really difficult for Dallas to, first off, stop that top line, because, you know, Dallas doesn't exactly have the greatest kind of defensive forwards to match up against them. And then they still have to find a way to counter and be better than Calgary's depth, which they just don't have. The only real spot that Dallas might have an advantage is in higher end defensemen, with like Haskinen and, you know, depending where Klingberg's at. But even at that, Rasmus Anderson and Noah Hanifin both had about 50 points a season, about the same as Klingberg.
Yeah, I mean, Haskinen led the Stars in playoff points when they went to the finals that one year. But yeah, he hasn't been a major offensive contributor for Dallas. I mean, he's put up 36 points, but
which is solid.
Solid, but it's not like, you know, crazy. But I mean, he might be able to turn his game up a notch in playoffs. And, you know, they've got some experienced guys like Ryan Suter, you know, some big body guys like Joni Hakanpää. Yep. So I don't know, but like, yeah, I think Calgary has just like a pretty solid defensive lineup.
Yep. I think Dallas's only real shot is if they can win the mental game. If they can do what they can to just stifle the impact of Matthew Tkachuk on the lineup, whether it's keeping your own team level-headed or keeping him from, you know, getting any energy and momentum going for Calgary, as well as figuring out what it takes to shut down Gaudreau, because you remember 2-3 years ago when Calgary was against Colorado, Tkachuk was out and Gaudreau just kind of completely turtled, was invisible.
Yeah.
If they can find a way to shut down Tkachuk's emotional, mental impact, you know, Gaudreau might follow soon behind. And then they might have a shot at stealing a few games in there, but that's going to be hard.
Yeah.
They don't have much of an advantage anywhere.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, it's going to be tough. And like, with guys like Jamie Benn and like Alexander Radulov in their lineup, like, I don't know if they're going to be able to like not play that game. Because that's kind of like who those guys
exactly
are. Is that, you know, easy to get under their skin, it seems, and do something dumb. So yeah, I mean, I just see the Flames kind of not walking away with this one, but I see them winning in five. I think Dallas might sneak a win at home just because of, you know, the environment, just kind of like sort of like Nashville, but with the offense and goaltending depth that the Flames have, like, I think that they'll win this one.
Yep.
And like you said, Dallas might have. They've surprised in playoffs.
Well, that's kind of the whole thing.
Colorado,
you know,
and what, Vegas, surprisingly. So maybe, but I think going into it, it looks like it's Calgary's.
Yeah. And I 100% agree. Looks like it's Calgary's. I've got Calgary in five as well.
Yeah. So we're pretty much right in line here. Okay. Well, we'll move on then. And one more thing. Actually, it's interesting that it's Calgary and Dallas, because it's kind of like Texas versus Texas of Canada in a series here. So it's you know, a real cowboy matchup here.
The rodeo.
The Flames and the Stars, yeah. So we'll move on to another Alberta team, your favorite team, the Edmonton Oilers, their matchup against the LA Kings. Before I pass it away to you, I thought it's going to be interesting to see McClellan versus Woodcroft.
You know, I didn't even factor that in. Never even crossed my mind. But that you're actually totally right, because Woodcroft is McClellan's, like, protege, basically. They spent so long together.
Yeah, like over 10 years with like three different teams or something. And then, obviously McClellan, the former Oilers coach. So that's going to be an interesting kind of matchup.
Absolutely.
Like the mentor and the
mentee.
The mentee kind of going head to head, the student and the teacher, right? So I thought that was interesting. But I'll let you kind of take it over from there of just what you kind of think might happen in this series or how they match
up. Yeah, so this matchup for the Oilers, I'll kind of tell it from an Oilers perspective, being an Oilers fan. This matchup for Edmonton is probably the favorable one of the possible outcomes, especially considering Vegas was in the mix. LA is the surprise playoff team in the West. They surprised a lot of people by being as good as they were and kind of taking advantage of the weaker division, of the slumping and injured Golden Knights. So they found their way into a playoff spot. And that's not to say they're not a good team, because they've obviously done something right to get to where they are. But they're also one of the weaker teams to make it into the playoffs. I think they were second or third lowest in total points, like the second lowest scoring playoff team, ahead of only Dallas. What LA has going for them is the team game. The fact that they have forwards and veterans, like they've got Andre Kopitar, Philip Deneau, two of the best defensive forwards in the league. And that's going to be huge in their matchup against Edmonton. Veterans on defense like Alex Edler. I don't think Drew Doughty is able to play. I think he's done, right?
He's done, yeah.
It's been a long time since he's been relevant, but Jonathan Quick in net, and obviously Quick's basically a cup winning, two-time cup winning goalie who I'm pretty sure he basically won the Kings a cup one of those years.
And he kind of kept them into playoffs too, because he played like almost every single game down the stretch there, and he was winning, like he won like six in a row or something, and just was playing like lights out. So he's hot coming in, which is good for them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
obviously that pedigree of winning a couple cups.
And it's going to be huge. They've got the veteran experienced winning core. They've got the youthful energy with like Kaliev and Sean Durzi, Quinton Byfield, like all doing decent playing roles in the lineup. So they've got this interesting mix of youth and veteran talent that's actually working, and it's going to pose a pretty big threat to the Oilers, because in the last couple of regular season games Edmonton played against LA, like one of them back at the end of March was playoff intensity at the time. Like it was an amazing game, like back and forth action, super close, just amazing hockey. And to kind of give us a preview of what we're about to see here, which is going to be a fun as hell series to watch. Edmonton, obviously, Connor McDavid winning his fourth Art Ross Trophy in 7 years. Leon Draisaitl, 110 points. He's the first player since Yager and Lemieux in 95-96 to have 55 goals and 55 assists in a season. So that's pretty damn impressive for a second line center, That's going to be the key for Edmonton, is trying to find a way to get around the depth of LA's defensive game. So they're going to need to make sure McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins are all on separate lines. They need three scoring lines to be able to actually have a chance of finding a favorable matchup. If they stack all their offense on one line, well, great. Now LA can send out Kopitar and Deneau and completely shut it down.
I think that's an interesting point with that center depth of the Kings, of Kopitar and Dano, because it's for points on the Kings, it's Kopitar, Kempe, and Dano. Kempe had a great year, career high 35 goals, but Kopitar 67 points, Kempe 54, and then Dano had a great year where he had 27 goals and 24 assists, 51 points. But he's obviously got that gear that he can kick it into for being that Selke caliber guy. So to have two kind of Selke caliber defensive forwards for your centers, your number one and two centers, that could match up extremely well against that McDavid Draisaitl line combo or line split.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch just that battle, I think, of and like the home advantage of like changing, getting the last change, I think could be huge in this series, of just like, oh, Deneau or Kopitar and out there, let's go with McDavid or Draisaitl, right? Like that could be huge. So I think that could be a big factor. It's just that home advantage, coming into play for once.
Exactly. And you know, that's where I think one of the main player to watch in this series for Edmonton is going to be Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, because him and his line are going to probably end up with the best matchups, because he's the weaker of the three centers. His line is going to be the weaker of the top three scoring lines, and they're not going to have to go against Steno or Kopitar as often as McDavid and Draisaitl. So Nugent-Hopkins and whoever's on his line, like, that's going to be the key that's going to need to, like, perform at 110% to help the Oilers stand out from the Kings and help the Oilers get past them.
What is the, the Oilers line look like, where it's like McDavid's playing with Kane
and
Puljujärvi?
It was Puljujärvi was the top line in the regular season. I've seen that it looks like it might be swapped so that it's going to be Kane, McDavid, and Yamamoto with Hyman, Draisaitl, and Puljujärvi on the second line.
Okay, so that's your top six. Yeah. So who has Nugent-Hopkins been playing?
It's been
with, like,
Warren
McLeod,
Warren Fogle, and Derek Ryan mostly.
Okay,
they've been solid.
Is Ryan McLeod?
Ryan McLeod's been
cracking the lineup. You think?
Yep.
Is he center?
He should be in the lineup. He's been flying out there lately. He's speedy, energetic. I'd like to see him on that third line with Nugent-Hopkins. I like his speed and his energy and his drive. He'd be a decent option to kind of try and break the game open a little bit if needed. But I think he probably centers the fourth line just to split that all up a little bit more.
Yeah.
And also Fogle, Nugent-Hopkins, and Derek Ryan have been a pretty solid line combination since they got united.
Yeah, I think the top end talent as far as offense is going to be, you know, the advantage for the Oilers. But yeah, like that, like we said, that Kopitar and Dano center 1 and 2 punch might kind of, you know, match up very well against that. But I think that the defense is kind of a wash, because if Doughty's out and Nurse is potentially out, you know, you're kind of both missing your number one guy.
Yeah, I mean, the Oilers have been playing their top pairing of Brett Kulak and Cody Ceci for the last few games of the season. So
that's all you can do is slap at that.
Yeah, I mean, Duncan Keith and Evan Bouchard have been a great pairing together. They've got excellent numbers, but they've also been a second pairing, so it's going to be hard to stick them up against, you know, a first line role and expect them to jive with that and to perform as well as they have been. So I think they're best as a second.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, like the Kings have, like, a defensive lineup of what, like, you've got no Doughty. So you got, like, Durzi and Matt Roy. Sean Walker's out too.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Edler, Mikey Anderson, Ole Mata, Jordan Spence.
You're right. That's pretty much a wash.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I could see a guy like Ole Mata getting really burned by McDavid.
See, you say that, but wasn't it Ole Mata a couple of years ago who went, like, had a really great series against the Oilers when he was with the Blackhawks?
Could have been. I don't know.
Randomly scores like two or three goals in the series in that playoff.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he scored a bunch. Yeah, he scored a bunch. So I remember that. Yeah, that was weird. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, ultimately, I'll let you take the lead on this, but who did you pick on this one?
So this is where I get just a little bit superstitious. Los Angeles in six.
Yeah. I hear where you're coming from, because I like to do that with my own teams as well. I actually picked the Oilers in six. I don't think that they're going to make it easy on themselves, but I think that they will.
I'm still thinking they're a year away from being built for playoff hockey. Edmonton is. They learned a lot from what happened last year against Winnipeg, but I don't think the roster is quite ready for the playoff game at this moment, especially going up against a team with the experience of the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on Nurse coming back or not, because if Nurse is in that lineup, it looks dramatically different. But if he's out for a while, it's going to be tough to not have your number one D-man to eat those monster
minutes. And especially,
like,
even if he comes,
you know,
back,
imagine it goes.
He's probably not going to be 100% because it was a weird leg injury.
Yeah, and just, like, imagine if, like, the game goes to, like, four overtimes or something, right? Like, you need Nurse.
You need Nurse to play 40 minutes again for some reason, even though he can't move anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, I guess we're parting ways on this one.
Yep.
We're I'm going with your favorite team and your, you know, Understandably going against your favorite team so that you don't have the hubris of picking your favorite team to
exactly.
win. So I can respect that. And next up, you know, we'll move to the East, and we've got my favorite team. So the Florida Panthers versus the Washington Capitals. You know, for we'll get into my prediction here, but, you know, from it's kind of funny, like, you look at, like, all of the expert, like, picks, and, like, pretty much everyone's picking Florida, except for, I think, Dan Rosen. He's the only guy I've seen that's picked Washington.
I mean, for good reason, honestly. But,
yeah, I mean, it's good reason, but, like, from what I've, you know, thought about this, it's not as cut and dry as, like, just, like, a super, you know, Washington's going to get stomped. You know, Ovechkin's going to be in. He practiced today, so he looks like he's going to play game one. I think it would have to be something dramatic to keep him out. But Ekblad could be in for the Panthers. So, you know, got some little bit of cap shenanigans there. You know, Ekblad coming in for the Panthers, like, who comes out of that D core? Because they've been playing pretty good.
Pateri Lindbom. Yeah, so they'll obviously bring Ekblad back. He's, you know, top pairing defender with Mackenzie Weegar. So it's probably looking like Pateri Lindbom is coming out, and then they can run the right side of Ekblad, Gudas, and Montour.
Yeah.
But, like, that's just going to list this, you know, this depth chart. First pairing, Mackenzie Weegar, Aaron Ekblad. Second pairing, Radko Gudas, Gustav Forsling. Third pairing, Ben Chiarot, Brandon Montour. Like, you know, we're sitting here laughing at the Oilers versus the Kings defensive lineups, and then we jump to this one. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty dang good. So, you know, if Ekblad comes in, that's huge for them. And the Capitals have been pretty bad coming into playoffs, like losing, like, back to back against the Islanders in a pretty dramatic fashion. But it's tough to gauge these teams for me because they played all their games in November against each other, and the Caps were 1-1-1 against
them. Of course,
they were all one goal games. You know, obviously the overtime one is a one goal game, but you know, the Panthers had a huge comeback win against them where Huberto just went like beast mode and like just like, yeah, we're gonna win this game, and just like came back in the third period. But the Panthers have, you know, obviously added some better players. But the Capitals are healthy now, or healthy-ish.
I think healthy-ish is about as good as Washington gets.
Yeah, so it's like they've got Backstrom, they've got Oshie, they've got Mantha. So like they've gotten a bit. They actually have a top six again. So I don't know. It's tough because, you know, defensively the Capitals suck. Offensively they're hot and cold, and then their goaltending has just kind of been hot and cold again. So like, who starts? Is it Vanacek? Is it Samsonov? Do you alternate? Whatever. Whereas, you know, Florida, it's like Bobrovsky's the guy, and Spencer Knight's ready to come in, and he showed that last year coming in to win the only game they won against Tampa, right? So I don't know. I see why everyone's picking Florida because they're an absolute wagon, and they've, you know, they set records for scoring and things like that. But, you know, the Capitals were decimated and they kept it to one goal in all the games they played, and the Panthers are 0-7 in playoffs since 1996. So I don't know. Can they get over that hump? Probably. I picked them in five. So
that's basically
I think they're gonna walk over the Capitals. But you know, part of that is I want to try and not be cocky and Washington to win, but yeah, it's just tough to go against the President's Trophy winners.
Yeah, a team built as strong as Florida is a season with the star power and the talent they have, it's hard to pick against them. Like, they're easily the Cup favorites right now with what the type of roster that they've put together, the depth it has, the star power, the talent, the scoring, the defense. Like, it's amazing what they've managed to fit somewhat under the cap with only a little bit of a little bit of shenanigans, you know, a lesser amount of shenanigans than last season's Cup winners. But I can't pick against them. I've got Florida in five as well. I don't think it might not be the blowout that it seems to be primed to be. Like, you're not wrong, Washington. They've got the experience. They've got the playoff pedigree at this point, with the core having been there for the cup win. But they don't really have the edge in any of the lineup categories. And especially with Florida's offense versus Washington's goaltending and defense, that's going to be a rough matchup. It might be closer. Yeah. The games might be closer. Like you said, a whole bunch of one-goal games. Might be one or two-goal games. Might not be Florida blowing them out every game, but the matchup on paper has to go to Florida.
Yeah, for sure. Panthers are just too strong not to give them the edge. I don't know. We'll I'm looking forward to watching this because, way back before the season, I thought Florida was a dark horse pick. Or not even dark horse, just like a good pick for cup favorite.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's come to fruition. So I'm really feeling like I got the gift of guessing sometimes. I mean, obviously I want the Capitals to win, but if Florida wins, I won't be too upset about it because they're, you know, a massively better team on paper. We're back on track here. Same team. And number of games. So we'll move on to, the all blue and white matchup of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Obviously Tampa looking for the three-peat and Toronto looking for their first series win since 2004.
Quite the difference there.
It's tough because like they just played each other almost twice recently. And Toronto lost to Tampa 8-1 on April 21st. But then they beat them 6-2 on April 4th. So what do you take out of that? Nothing.
Exactly. It's like
I don't know. So it's Stamkos versus Matthews, Marner versus Kucherov. Tough. I mean, Vasilevsky's got to be like the advantage in net.
Yeah, because for Tampa. Toronto, they thought they had their goalie. Jack Campbell looked amazing to start the season, but he's really trailed off, and now they're. Who's even been playing in net most of the time for Toronto lately?
Shalgren, Campbell, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
It changes. Not Mrazek, that's for sure.
not Harry Sateri either.
Yeah. Yeah. Although they might be happy that ended up not coming true because I saw him play against Dallas the other day and he was looking pretty lost in the net. I don't know. I feel like this is like two offensive teams that are just gonna like pound the hell out of each other's goalies, and I think it's gonna be a long one. I think this is gonna be a long series.
Have to agree with you there. It's gonna be such a fun one to watch though, because these are two of the most offensively talented rosters in the league, and we're going to get to see them go head to head against each other. It's going to be tough. I mean, Sheldon Keith thinks it's going to be borderline violent. So he's, he's getting the stage set for just the sparks to fly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just going to be a long series and a lot of scoring. Not going to be a goaltending battle.
Which leads me to like two... the main difference maker is probably just going to be Vasilevsky. If Vasilevsky's hot, if Vasilevsky makes, the big saves that he needs to make, well, what's Toronto going to do? Because they don't really have anything to counter that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really going to depend on if Matthews and Marner produce. We've kind of seen it where, I guess more so Marner. Like, Marner hasn't been scoring in playoffs. He's got, one goal in playoffs in his career or something like that. Obviously, he's an assist guy first, but, he should have more than one goal with the amount of time that they've played in playoffs.
He has 5 goals in 32 playoff games, apparently.
Oh,
but
okay.
He doesn't have a playoff goal in the last at least 12, the last 2 years.
Oh, so maybe he only had one last year. That's what I'm thinking.
He hasn't had a playoff goal since 18-19.
Wow, that's pretty bad. it's going to depend on, like, you know, the guys, like Marner, Matthews, Tavares, Nylander. I think that's they've got Muzzin back in defense, so that's good for them. But yeah, do those top guys make their money? You know, just I think the one thing, like the you said, the Leafs might not have an answer for Vasilevskiy. It's like, if Matthews isn't that answer, I don't think they win the series. Mm-hmm. But if he is, like, if he just, you know, lights up Vasilevskiy, like he, you know, like Matthews can, I think that they could have a real shot. It's tough to go with the Leafs because of just the amount of times that they've, you know, choked away series.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's tough, but I ended up picking up Toronto in seven. I think they're not going to make it an easy series. They're going to probably go up 3-0, and then it's going to go all the way to game seven. and then I think they will push through, only because I want to see them somehow play Boston along the line here. but yeah, I'm going with Toronto in seven. You know, I got to go with Matthews just after scoring 60, that he can be that difference maker in playoffs. And, you know, Wayne Simmons was asked, like, what's changed in the mentality between last year and this year? And he said, this year we don't want to lose. So it's like, okay, so last year you did. Like, it's kind of funny, but
something weird in that dressing room.
Yeah. So I don't know. They got a different coach. You know, they've got, you know, some different guys in there. I don't know. I'm just going Toronto because at some point they have to win a series.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, at some point they do. And I think you're totally right. I leaned the other way. I think I just couldn't bet against the pedigree of what this Tampa Bay Lightning team has done the last two seasons. I went with Tampa in seven. But, you know, they lost a lot of that depth that kind of helped them become the cup winners the last two seasons. They lost a lot of that scoring and forward depth. And I don't think they really were able to replace it. This wasn't as strong a season, I don't think, for them. They finished great, but they started out really slowly, and that kind of hurt them. But I just don't think Toronto has the answer on defense or on goaltending for what Tampa's offense can produce. Conversely, Tampa does sort of have, like, the Hedman factor, the Vasilevskiy factor, that match up better against Matthews and Marner. So just for that little bit, I think Tampa is Tampa pulls through, just, and then, you know, then they're gonna be super motivated for that battle of Florida in the second round.
Yeah, that would be good if that happened. I'm surprised you're not gonna go with your guy Colin Blackwell to be a difference maker and win the series for the Leafs, because he's definitely your guy. Yeah, I think this is gonna be a fun one though. But it's going to be hard to tell who's who, you know, on, like, you're gonna have to look for, like, which arena is this in to tell which team's white and which team's blue, because Tampa just blatantly stole their whole jersey concept.
The battle of the same jerseys.
Yeah.
One of those teams needs a new jersey.
It's going to be a fun one. Yeah, we'll see, you know, who comes out on this one. And then, yeah, moving against to Toronto's nemesis here, Carolina Hurricanes versus Boston Bruins. This one I think is going to be interesting because Freddie Anderson is out to start the series. So Carolina's got an interesting goalie decision to make, is do they go with Antti Raanta or do they go with this rookie kid, Pyotr Kochetkov, who played three out of the last four games and went 3-0. Does he just keep him in?
Exactly.
Or
you know, do you go with that beginner's luck, the rookie momentum, or do you go with Antti Raanta, who's been solid but not outstanding, and who is also coming off of his own injury? Actually, he missed a couple of games in the last couple of weeks, or he got hurt in the last weekend or something.
Yeah. So it's like, is he really fully healthy or not, mm-hmm. or what? And then for the Bruins, you know, Swayman or Ullmark, they've both been pretty good. You know, who do you go with? I don't know. They have almost identical numbers. It's crazy. They both played in 41 games. Walmart's got 3 more wins. Their save percentage is off by 0.003, and their goals against is off by 0.04. Jeez. So it's like they're almost the same.
You guy. Might as well just flip a coin. Rock, yeah. Paper, scissors for it.
yeah. But this one, like, I haven't watched a lot of Carolina games, but, you know, they've been a really good team this season. So I found it hard to go against them in this one, just because of the, the talent that they have, the depth that they have. You know, I think that they've got the edge in offense and defense, but maybe not goaltending. So it might come down to goaltending if Freddie Anderson's not able to come into this. Like, you know, is Boston able to, you know, take advantage of that with Marchand, Pasternak, Bergeron? Pasternak, I think, missed a little bit of time recently. So, you know, is he fully healthy, good to go, or not? That can make a huge impact in the series for them. But yeah, I mean, I picked Carolina in 6 for this one. You know, I think Boston's got that veteran presence, you know, that leadership of, you know, Bergeron. And I think they'll win a few games, but like Carolina's been such a wig in this season. So I gotta go with them.
Yeah, so I originally had Carolina in this one. And then just for some reason, I was like, you know, it's hard for me to pick against Boston. I mean, Boston's beat Carolina out of the playoffs in 2 of the last 3 seasons. They've got something in the way that Boston plays. It just counters Carolina extremely well. Carolina, this is, I think, their best ever regular season. Their best full regular season. It's second to last year when they only played 56 games. But it's their best full regular season in franchise history. Like you said, they're an absolute wagon. They've got depth that they didn't used to have. Before, they were sort of a one-line team, and they ended up having to split like Svechnikov, Aho, and Teravainen up a bit more than they'd like to, and it really hurt their offense. But now they've got some depth with having Trocheck and guys like Seth Jarvis, and if Natchez is playing well, he's decent as well. But they've got a bit more depth this season, and it's helped to just flesh out their lineup a little bit better. But again, I have trouble betting against Boston. Even though I don't like the moves that they had made over the last offseason, I don't like the amount of turnover and the lack of depth that they've had, they've still bounced back and been good this regular season, and they ended up pretty close in the standings too. Like, they're one of the best wildcard teams ever, 107 points. You know, compared to Carolina's 116, like, it's not too far off. They're both 50-win teams, only 3 wins off in the season. So, might be closer than we think, but I ultimately lean Boston in 6.
Yeah, I mean, like, the addition of Hampus Lindholm has really boosted their D-core, right? So, you know, that could make a big difference. Having a guy like that to play with McAvoy,
mm-hmm.
You know, shut down that top-end line of Carolina could be huge. And then, yeah, you know, they've got that ability to shut down Carolina like we saw in the last couple playoffs. I just, you know, I usually go against Carolina, and this year I'm going for them.
Right. It's one of those things where it's like eventually they're going to have to win. Just the same as you picking Toronto, eventually they're going to have to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's like they've added some guys too, like, you know, adding a guy like Max Domi. You know, he could be, you know, a difference maker in playoffs just that way he plays. You know, could be a better fit for playing against Boston. You know, kind of that, I don't know, nastier side of the game for Boston, like that physical side. I don't know if Carolina's been really great at matching up with that in the past. So, you know, maybe just that one extra guy, maybe that's all it takes. And, like, you know, a guy like Trocheck, So yeah, I mean, I give the edge to Carolina, but yeah, like you said, it could go either way. This one, I think was tough. Especially with the goaltending situation being questionable for Carolina. If Anderson's not coming in at all and Ranta or Kochetkov aren't hot, then yeah, Boston all the way. Okay, well, we'll go to our last matchup then. New York Rangers versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. Again, goalie situation. Tristan Jarry hurt going in. Casey DeSmith has been playing the last couple weeks, I guess, as kind of the starter.
Yeah, and this isn't something...
He's looked good.
Yeah, DeSmith has been good. And this isn't something that looks like it's going to change. I think Jarry broke a bone in his foot, so he's not going to be back. He's week to week. He's not going to be back probably this series at all.
Yeah, that's tough. Their starter, who got them where they got them into playoffs. Yeah. Last year, though, Jarry was a liability in playoffs.
Exactly.
He was argued by many to be the reason that they didn't win. So it could be silver lining kind of thing, right? Where it's like DeSmith might just be getting hot at the right time and you ride that guy. But he's got to be goddamn really good to beat Shesterkin in a goalie matchup. And that's going to be hard when you've got Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreider, Adam Fox, like, gunning to score goals against you. The Rangers' offense is no joke. It's like Shesterkin's probably going to win the Vezina. He's been a god this year. But on the other hand, you know, it's always kind of hard to bet against Crosby and Malkin. Which way do you go in this one? The Penguins have struggled recently in the playoffs, just like the Capitals. They've, you know, since they've kind of hit their highest mark, they've really struggled after that. I think both the Penguins and the Capitals could really benefit from meeting each other in the second round, because whoever wins that matchup is going to win the cup. I don't know. But, you know, on this one, I've picked New York, the Rangers, in six. I think that, you know, it's hard to go against Crosby. So I think that just that Crosby, Malkin, Letang factor will probably win them a couple games. But the Rangers are just rolling and have such a strong team that I think that they're gonna end up taking it. So where do you fall on this one?
I flip the other way. I've got Pittsburgh in six. okay. I might not be quite as high yet on the Rangers. I fall under the same thing. Like you just said, it's hard to bet against Crosby and the Penguins because it's just the type of team that they are to succeed in this type of situation. And it's hard to see like Casey DeSmith taking the team past the first round. But like you said, Jarry was a liability in last year's playoffs and was one of the main reasons they lost. So, you know, maybe DeSmith coming in, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe he's got a chance to be the next goalie in Pittsburgh to take over and kick the old starter out. You mentioned New York's offense being so strong, but funnily enough, Pittsburgh scored about 20 more goals in the regular season than New York did. And gave up about 20 more goals as well, but, you know, it ends up balancing out. They got pretty similar goal differentials. One of the main reasons I lean towards Pittsburgh is that the Rangers benefited strongly from their power play. And at 5 versus 5, their numbers, their underlying numbers are a bit disappointing, playing well below 50% in a lot of the possession stats and scoring chances stats. In the playoffs, obviously the whistles get put away and you're going to be playing 5v5 a lot more. So I think there might be a little bit of an edge there for Pittsburgh to take over if the Rangers aren't going to be able to utilize that power play as often.
Yeah. That's something in the Tampa-Toronto series. Like, they both have, you know, such loaded up power plays. It's going to be fun to watch, you know, who gets power play and is that a difference maker? Mm-hmm. And that could be in this series too, is, you know, you gotta make a count when you do get a power play. I just think, yeah, like, it is going to be tough to go against Crosby and Malkin, just because they've been around for so long and they're so good at what they do. And, you know, Crosby's like the ultimate power forward.
Exactly. He's the most elite grinder in NHL history.
Yeah. It's going to be all of these are probably going to be tight games. But yeah, I just think that, you know, New York's looked really good against Metro teams. So yeah, we'll see. I don't really like either of these teams. So if there's a way for neither of them to move on to the second round, it'd be perfect. Yeah, I just give the edge to the Rangers. You know, Panarin's just been lights out this season. So, and then, you know, Kreider with 52 goals, which is absurd. But yeah, I mean, Crosby could, you know, bang some pucks in off of Gensel's head to win a game. So who knows what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's all the matchups. Is there anything else you wanted to mention or go over?
I mean, looking at this, looking at your bracket, whatever, who do you see in the final and who wins the cup?
Oof. That's a tough one. I mean, I think the favorites are Calgary and Florida? I think I've read that somewhere. I don't know. I mean, it'd be fun to see like a Colorado Florida final, but it usually doesn't work out that way. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go with maybe I'd say Florida versus like a team like Minnesota. I think Minnesota's built kind of really, really well this season to go all the way. So
you think they can pull off that matchup against the Avalanche?
Yeah, I think they could do it. You know, just kind of that, you know, a little bit of an underdog story, but you know, they're not quite like the bottom seed. So I don't know. I think I'll go with Mini versus Florida. How about you?
So I've actually got that Calgary Florida matchup in the final. I think Florida probably takes it.
Yeah.
I think looking at that second round in the West, because this is the hard one, is trying to pick the West for me. I think Colorado comes out of a series against Minnesota more tired than Calgary would against LA, even though I realize as I'm doing this analysis that the reasons that I'm picking Calgary over LA are counter to the reasons that I'm picking LA over Edmonton. So it's kind of a weird contradiction in my head, but if it works out that way, I just see the Flames having a bit of an advantage over Colorado in the Western Final based off of the path to get there. And, you know, you get to the Eastern side. I mean, Florida-Tampa Bay is going to be a hell of a series if it gets there in the second round. I just think this is probably Florida's year to take that crown over. And then I end up with the Boston-Pittsburgh second round in the East. You know, I see Boston coming out of that series. They're a bit stronger. They're a bit stronger and more solid of a lineup to me than the Rangers. So I think Boston takes that over. And I mean, Florida to me wins over Boston based off of the strength of the roster and the depth. But I mean, Florida, Calgary, an interesting final. I think Florida wins that one.
That'd be fun though, to have another Canadian team which is like, you know, an actual contender, not just like a random bottom tier team getting into the finals.
Exactly.
Would be an actual accomplishment. I think that'd be fun to have like another Canadian team in there. So I could get on board with the Flames versus Panthers final. That would be pretty cool. I think it would be your worst nightmare.
I might not watch a single Oilers game.
I guess if depends on how good the Panthers play, you might enjoy it.
Yeah,
seeing the Flames.
If the Panthers win 8-0 in the first game, I might watch a game or two.
Yeah, I mean, like if anything, you could have the Schadenfreude of seeing Flames fans sad when they lose, right? So, and then if it looks like they're gonna win, you could just turn it off and forget hockey exists for a
exactly.
while. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, we've got you know, overall pretty. Similar
I think
for all
we either
these.
Have the team, the games, or both in this every series. So,
yeah,
pretty much the same trajectory.
Yeah. So interesting, just divert a little bit here and there, but you know, a lot better than we used to be of just completely completely off. Is there any like hot take you want to have? I don't think you really have a hot take in any of these series, but is if you did like think that one was going to go the other way, any predictions for like a huge upset at
Dallas.
All?
Just Dallas. Because I think that's one of the more lopsided on paper matchups. But at the same time, we've seen a similarly built Dallas roster take out teams like they took out Calgary a couple years ago. They took out Colorado a couple years ago. You know, if there's going to be some random huge upset, it's probably going to be Dallas just because they've got some weird team defense thing going for them.
Yeah, they have done it before. I want to say it's the Capitals versus Florida, but yeah, I got to agree that it's if there is going to be one, it's probably going to be that Dallas-Calgary series. And then, you know, if Calgary loses that, bye-bye Gaudreau, I think, even after the season he's had. Like, great. Regular season is one thing, but playoffs is
yeah. And especially when it's been a regular thing, like the last time in the playoffs he disappeared, especially when Tkachuk wasn't around.
Yeah,
it'll be time for a bit of a shakeup in Calgary.
Yeah, for sure.
But it'd be hard to because they're kind of at a point right now where they're going to be competitive. Like they've basically got a playoff spot on lock. So it's like, do they blow it up and risk the Vegas situation, or do they kind of give it another try until other teams start taking over and then they actually need to make a change?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs start tomorrow. So we'll see how these go and how soon we're wrong.
Exactly.
On all of these.
That wraps things up for this time here on Clappercast. Make sure you rate and review this episode and toss a follow or subscribe our way. For more content, you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Clappercast Media or on Twitter at Clappercast. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more hockey talk.